All right. Give me a, yeah, there we are. So today, message, Love is Blind, See What You Find. We'll be in Genesis. We have a lot of scriptures that will be up on the screen, but today we'll be in Genesis 29 through 30 and chapter 124. Excuse me, chapter 29 through 30, 1 through 24 on that last half. So when you hear that love is blind, what do you think about that? What does that speak to you? Go ahead. You guys know this is open forum. Love is blind. Why do we even say that? Why? Go. Real loud.
I think it just makes you focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm. So you get tunnel vision. You'll get focused on just one thing. So you won't see some of the extra stuff on the outside, right? Right? Isn't that pretty much it in a nutshell? It means I love you when you don't wear makeup. Love is blind. Yeah, it means you love them when they don't wear makeup. And even when you do, sometimes that's cover up, right? Love is blind. So what do we have to do when we see love is blind? Well, I'm already married or I've been married. No, no, no. You still have to keep your eyes wide open, and you have to teach others to keep their eyes wide open. You know you can't tell anybody something when their heart's throbbing, right? They don't want to hear it. They just want to see that tunnel vision and that one focus. That's why it's so important to get that groundwork laid up for them as they grow and build so they know what's coming. What we're going to see today is Isaac sending Jacob out to Laban, his uncle, his wife's uncle. And the reason he's sending him out, because he doesn't want to have the local women that are not of the cloth or of the faith or of their like-mindedness, the Canaanite women, that he saw all the trials and challenges of Esau. When Esau had his first born birthrights removed, all of it was given over to him, including that blessing that Isaac put out on Jacob, even if it was a lie and his mother was a part of it. He saw Esau being unequally yoked. He saw all of that. That flippancy, just to for a pot of beans. I mean, we had a graduation party the other day for my grandson. I'm telling you, we had a taco bar. Y'all ever been at a taco bar? You understand that? But if you ever been to a taco bar at our house, dude, it loads up. Having that whole background coming from Mexico, it's a taco bars are woo-hoo. I mean, I love them. That's all everybody talked about. I saw people going back to three or four plates. Not that we're bragging or anything like that. It's just that them women put that meat together. They put all them trimmings together, and oh, was that ever good. And I have no idea why I'm talking about a taco bar. But maybe I'm just hungry. Yeah, it's time to fast really slow. Huh? Pot of beans. He sold his birthright. Thank you. See, the ADD mindset, the butterflies are flying. You guys know you got to reel me back in, right? So that's good. Thanks for reeling me in. Pot of beans. First birthright. He brought that birthright for a pot of beans. And then Jacob, it just wasn't enough for him. He had to have dad's blessing. Put on dead skin from a lamb, bloodied, from the food that they lied to make it cook, mom did. Wrapped him up in that, put it around his neck. Oh. I mean, I like raw steak, more medium rare, but not that. The deception. The Bible doesn't hide our scars. I love that. Because we can relate to it. We can see that there's evidence of failure with people and blessings with God. Darkness in our heart. We see the good and the challenging, right? So you don't have to go there, or you can, in 28 of Genesis. I'm just going to read a quick little excerpt here. Father, please, your word, do it to them as you see fit. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him. Okay, charge means you're conscripted to go do something, and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, right? Or southwest Mesopotamia, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take for yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply, that you may be an assembly of peoples, fruitful and multiply. and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to your granddaddy. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, and the mother of Jacob and Esau. He doesn't want them to be yoked unequally. He doesn't want that. Do we have 2 Corinthians 6, whatever? Can you throw that up there, please? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has the righteous with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Can you throw one of those images up for a yoke? You guys know what a yoke is, right? It's that thing that comes out of an egg. That's a yoke. You ever lifted one of those things up? Do you have any idea how heavy that is? All right, let's take an idea here. These are going to go over a couple of ox, right, or oxen. That thing's going to be heavy duty, right? Doesn't that look like good eats? How long can you eat on that? Yeah? Can we go back to that first one more time, please? Thank you so much, the very first yoke. Thank you. And see, you've got these wood things here, and then the modern wouldn't have more of a bolt, if you will. So you have the weight of that. You have the weight of this metal piece where your stirrups are going to go, or stirrups, your reins are going to go through. Why would that even be there? So the younger one can learn from the older one, or the smaller one, you know, can pace with the larger one. However it is, whatever it is, it's designed that there will be an equation there, equal. Can we go to the third one through, the two red ones? Oh. Herefords. I love Herefords. I love them better on my plate. But you know what? Look at the weight there. So there's a bit of a burden on, not for them, but for us there would be. What are we going to be tied to? See, when you're tied to this one, whatever this one does, this one will do. And they'll mutually come to work. You understand that? If this one starts to pull to the left and this one's in a pull to the left mode, then boom, that's what's going to happen. You understand this is what it's like in business? Because that's what you're working with. Who are you yoked to in your business? Who are you doing business with? Some of you in here have your own businesses. What are you yoked to? You know, many a times running my own business is plural. Connected to people that are not of the faith can be a challenge, and even some with a fish. I never put a fish on my card. You know why? Because there's others that put fish on the card to try to get into the church to work with folks, but their business practices are not up to par. Please don't put a fish on your card if you're going to do some poor things. If you're going to put that fish on, you're representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that represented you before the Lord on that cross, right? So if you get connected with somebody that has shoddy business practices, what are they going to say of you? Right? Same in marriage. If you're unequally yoked, you need to be equally yoked. Many a time you'll have a spouse keep or thwart the other person to do what God would have them to do. Do you know we're going to be doing yet another wedding in July, I think the 29th. You guys know Saul and Shalicia, right, in second service. They typically come in there. They're getting married. One of the vows that they'll be taking is that I vow to do everything I can to help you fulfill everything God has for your life. Those are not typically put in wedding vows. Do you understand when you're yoked to somebody, your commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ to help them fulfill everything that God would have for them? So ladies, if you're married to a fella, you're there to help him be everything that he can be in the Lord. Fellows, if you're married to a lady, everything that you can do to help her become in the fullness of what the Lord has for her to do and equip her the whole way, yoked equally. And that yoke is the Lord, right? Take a look at that next shot. This is it. It's just simple. Simple dimple, right? You got that visual in your head? We're yoked to him. Matthew 11, 29 through 30. If we have that, I don't know if I put that in or not. Yeah, there. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. Why does he want you to learn from me? Because he wants you to emulate him. Christian is just a small version of Christ. Everything that we do should have that as our forefront, the Lord Jesus, all of his ways. That's why we study here at Calvary Chapel the word line by line, verse by verse. We go through the whole counsel. And yes, even they begots. He begot them, and they begot them, and they begot them. All for this reason. Take your yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to be yoked to something. You got to serve somebody, right? Who are you going to serve? How's that going to look? An equally yoked business, marriage, friendships. Well, what about going out and sharing Jesus? Well, go out and share Jesus, but your yoke to. Remember how you would raise your children and you say, show me your friends, I'll show you you? You know, you can tell a lot about a man by the way his wife looks, his bride looks. You can tell a man if he's walking with the Lord. I can look at his bride in a second and know if they're off. You can just see it, and vice versa. Oh, we can come in with our plastic face, but that don't last long. You can see through that. The eyes break through that plastic face, you know, way easy to see. And especially when you're yoked to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you get to know them. You know, that ox smells the other's breath. They're so close. I'm not telling you get that close, but especially in the morning. Brush your teeth. What are you doing with that? That's what Paul is telling the Corinth church, because they were starting to get yoked to the things of worldliness there. He didn't want that. It's damaging to us. It's damaging to our relationship with him. You know, I love movies. Y'all love movies? Y'all like movies? You kind of even remotely? I like to watch movies. I really do. But I have to be careful, because that can be my doctrine. Oh, not my nurse. Kidding. You can get really jacked up with that, about like that. What else do you have that you think is important? Maybe an owner or somebody you worked with, or some fund that you're overseeing. Maybe you're managing that. Maybe it's your pals sitting there turning wrenches on the car, you know, or your gardening buddies. Are you influencing, or are they? Are you yoked to them? See, the yoke for me is not with my pals at work. My yoke is to my Lord Jesus Christ. My yoke is through the Holy Spirit. And I'll go out and I'll go and do that work and be with the sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. I'll be with the drunkards and the stoners and the whatever's, that the Lord can be magnified. That the Lord will be magnified. I don't care, man. When we were dealing with the drug dealers at the Westminster Mall in Westminster, Colorado, you know, you'd sit there and think, well, this is kind of a really nice and clean little area here. Yeah, well, yeah, that's on the surface. And then you get to hear the kingpin drug dealer stood about this tall, big tall. Well, I'm always around tall fellas, big old tall fella. And we're talking about the Lord. He says, you know, my grandma said this would happen one day. Your appointments are always there. Why should we have fear? We have the Lord. I may die. Cool. You get to be with Jesus. But it may suffer in the death. Yeah, but it's not suffer forever in hell. Come on. I love doing the Lord's business. Well, you're a pastor. You should be. No, dude, I wasn't a pastor all my life. I didn't come to know the Lord till at a Promise Keepers up in Boulder, Colorado at the CU Folsom Field there. No, I was a bad guy. Shouldn't have had anybody around me. Yoked to some really bad things. And I'll tell you what, it's not the next high for this guy. It's the Lord. To see him do the work. I was talking to a brother who drives truck here about a month or so ago, and he'd been a little stale in his walk. I said, you need to go pray with somebody. All right, a little hesitation. Hey, how can I pray for you? Boom. How can I pray for you? Next guy, boom. How can I pray for you? Next guy, boom. And all of a sudden, life breathed back into the man. All it takes is that step. You know, the simplest thing and the most important thing you can do is pray for somebody. When we ask you to pray for us, that's gold. If you have to put some type of enumeration to it, that is gold in our bank. Because it's led by the Holy Spirit, your prayers. They're not designed by you. They're designed by Him. If they're designed by you, they'll fall flat. They're designed by Him. We'll get the fruit of your servitude to Him. And we thank you for it. And that prayer and that reaching out to somebody, say, cousin, how can I pray for you? Honey, you know what? We're going to have some food here this morning. Thanks for the coffee. How can we be praying for you? We're fixing to pray for our food before it comes out. I have a grandson who's dating a girl, and she's not used to my southern idioms of honey and sweetie and baby come here. She says, I'm from the Upper East. We don't do that. And I said, baby, you're going to have to get used to it, sugar. It's okay to be yourself when you're praying. Get out there. Reach out there. I don't want to be told all this stuff. I don't want to be told about being equally yoked. I've been living a long time, or I've been in the Lord a long time. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe you're not even there. Well, let me tell you something. Proverbs 12 and 15. You're going to get about four of these, so write them down. By the way, you have prayer requests and information cards, but also in front of you, you have these little things. Looks logo like this, and the rest of our info on the back. And right in this upper side here, the right side, you're writing down everything that's going through your brain. On the left side, upper left, that's all your scripture. The summary is what you would probably tell somebody. Remember that if you only hear something spoken, you'll only remember 5%. 95% will go away from you. You hear it, read it, and write it, 85% retains. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but instead, he who heeds counsel is wise. He's telling us to be yoked to him. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, we don't take counsel unless it comes from the Word. You know, if somebody says, oh, I had this great thing I heard, and you attribute it to Genghis Khan, that's great for Genghis Khan, but it serves us no purpose. Yeah, I know, Henry Ford, if you can or can't, you're right. I can't do that, you're right. I can do that, you're right. I get some of those. Those are applicable. But when there's counsel and wisdom involved, you know where my wisdom I want from? Is the Word of God. Proverbs 13:10. By pride comes nothing but strife. Proverbs 13:10. But with the well-advised is wisdom. I love the Word of God. And lastly, Proverbs 15:31-30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. The ear, what hears the rebukes of life, will abide among the wise. Abide means to dwell, to live. We should do and listen to folks that have depth of character. And I'm not talking Americana character. We're talking biblical character here. I want to be around, I would rather be around a handful of people that are solid in the Lord than a multitude that aren't. What do you mean hang around with? Well, that's an encouraging, that's an iron sharpens iron type of time. Whereas being over here with all these other folks is great to bring the Word to, but remember, Jesus fed the 5,000, but he taught the 12. Proverbs is an excellent source of that counsel. Point made on that, who are we going to be yoked to? Genesis 29, that's where we're going to be feeding more today. Just load up, buddy. You're going to be sitting a while. Stretch if you need. So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and he saw a well in the field. And behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. And now all the flocks would be gathered there. And they would roll the stone from the well's mouth. Water the sheep, roll the stone, that's your blockade, that's your valve, if you will, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob then said to them, my brethren, where are you from? We're from Haran. You guys know that means mountain man or mountaineering or mountain ear. We are from Haran. Then he said to them, do you know Laban, the son of Snort or Snor? He said, yeah, we know him. He said to them, is he well? And they said, in other words, it's like, how's he doing? He's doing good. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. You know what her name means? You. She's sheep girl. You. Then they said, look, it's still high in the day. It's not time for the cattle to be gathered and water the sheep and go feed them. It's not the right time. It is in God's world. But they said, we cannot until all the flocks have gathered together and they have rolled the stone from the well's mouth when we water the sheep. Now, while they were speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she was a shepherdess. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep Laban, the mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's mother, the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel, lifted up his voice and wept, and told Rachel that he was her father's relative and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her dad. So you know what? Why is that relief? Because he sees exactly what's going on. This is an embrace of a cousin to another cousin. It's like, I'm your family, fixing to be your husband. Then it came to pass when Laban heard in 13 the report about Jacob, his sister's son, and he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him into his house. And so he told Laban all things, and Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you're my relative, you should therefore serve me for nothing. Tell me, what should your wages be? Tell me, buddy, you've been here a while. You've been working yourself to the bone. What's your pay hire should be? What's your rate? 16, now Laban had two daughters, and the elder was Leah. That means weak in the eye. It doesn't mean that she had weak eyes. Her eyes were lightly colored. And the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, for he said, I will serve you 7 years, Rachel, and your younger daughter, for your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. In other words, he's saying, dude, this is cool. Let's go ahead and move forward with it. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel and seemed only a few days to him because the love for her he had. So I want you to think about something. You know, 7 years doesn't sound like that long, right? This is, what year is this? 2017? What was going on in your life in 2010? So you just kind of reel back a ways. But I want you to get something for a minute here. This is what he's given up. And fellas, I want you to think about this. The average wage in America is about $53,000 a year. Did you know that? So let me throw a quick number here at you. 7 years on that wage is $371,000. Do you feel that? How much are you going to pay for your bride? Is she worth to you over a third of $1 million? That was his dedication to get Rachel. And 2,500 days, 2,557 days for a woman, 2,557 days. I don't know how many hours that is. Take that times 24. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of investment. Love is blind, right? You think your bride has value? Did you meet her at a bar? Did you meet her online? How much did you pay for Match.com, right? How much did you spend at the bar? How far did you go when you took her out to dinner or courted her at church? You know, I'm not trying to say, oh, God, honey, and you're going to go home the wiser being, he spent $371,000 on me. You ain't done nothing. Took me to a movie. You know? Nah, dude, it's deep like that. Yeah. So that time went like this. I mean, it was quick. You know, I'm sitting there looking at my bride. We're rolling up on 35 years, and I'm just going, dang, what happened to the time? But you know, the time that I really remember mainly is the time that we both came to know the Lord forward. And that time there has slowed to a crawl. That time before was like, whoop, there we go, and here we are. You know, a whole other man before, a whole other woman before, my bride and I now. Love you. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My days are fulfilled that I may go into her. In other words, have relationship, be fruitful, and multiply. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass that evening that they had a taco bar. They took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob and went to her. Laban gave his maid Zilpah, which is like droplets. It's like myrrh, the droplets of myrrh. If you guys do your essential oils or whatever, you can get an idea what her name is. To his daughter Leah as a maid, he gave her over to him. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what? All right, I won't go into this deep, but if that happened to me, wet hornet. I'd be madder than a wet hornet. And I'm like, what is going on? What happened to me? See, the deal is this. He was so stoked about Laban. Woohoo! I'm your cousin. You're going to be my wife. 7 years, you're going to be my wife. She's going to be my wife. Did you check the local customs? Now, I know Laban's a swindler. I get all that. But he didn't also reveal the customs to him. He just went right into that contract without reading all the fine paperwork of the area. Wake up the next morning. Leah! Oh, my gosh. I thought she was a little meaty. Right? What have you done to me, he says in 25. Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? You lied to me. Okay, Jacob, Mr. Liar, welcome back. You ought to be used to it. Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Love will make you blind. You don't eat right. You stay up late hours. You're on the phone forever. You text till time stops, which is never. Fulfill her week. And so you wonder about those marriages we've talked about. You know, sometimes those weddings can last 7 days. Fulfill her week. This is her bridal week, right? Fulfill her week. In 27, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve me still another 7 years. So let's get that timing down. That's $742,000. You got that in your account? Some of you have. Don't raise your hand. Some of you don't. Don't raise your hand. $742,000. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of money. And your time is 5,114 days. 5,000, that's 14 years. What were you doing in 2003? Do you remember? Why are you so quiet? Are you sealing the dedication? Are you seeing how things, if you don't have your head screwed on straight? When I was a young fella, my head wasn't even screwed on. It was just screwy, right? Not these days. My bride will tell you, I'm a research hog. I research everything. I hear about something, I go research it. I want to know. I don't want to waste time. I don't want to waste money, and I want to know what the rules of the game are so I know how to play them. In 28, then Jacob did so, fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel, a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. So he had favorites, right? That was his first heart flutter. I get that. I understand it. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. It's a lot of years that are going on here. Tons of years, right? Her name Bilhah means troubled or modesty. Now we're talking kids. Yeah? Now we're talking kids. The children of Jacob is the title that I see before 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb. Wait a minute, wasn't this a conjured lie? I don't know. Is he blessing that lie? No, he's blessing his covenant. Wait a minute, he's going to have all these kids that are up and coming. He's still blessing his covenant. Remember, God sees time without time frame. past, present, and future all at one. He knows what's going on here. This is not news to him. He's not going to bless a lie, but he's blessing that covenant. See, he's going to take all of this wrongful thing in Romans 8 and 28, which states, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's kind of nice to know that in this perplexing time, bottom line, God's going to have that love that's going to carry through. He's not leaving Leah alone. I just want to be with Rachel. She's not bringing any kids, but I just love being around her. Well, Leah's going to start bringing kids. You know, she brings a boatload of them. She brings well over 50% of the 13 children that are mentioned. One's Dinah, however. Over half of them belong to Leah. 9 of them, I believe, came from her and Zilpah. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son who she called Reuben, for she said, Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. See, this is the deal. You're going to see a battle start to brew between the two girls because of barrenness or because of the absence of love or commitment. See, God's commitment and covenant is love. No matter what, whatever he says he's going to do, whatever he's going to put his mind to, he's going to do that. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter how the other one operates. He's still going to love, and he expects us to love the same. There's been a commitment with Leah. He expects that love to be there, even though he loved Rachel more. Right? But Leah's hurt. She says, see, I have a son. Maybe he'll love me. Does that tell you where her heart's fluttering here? 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard I am unloved, has therefore given me his son, this son, I'll name him Simeon. The Lord has heard me crying out to him. I just want to be loved. But she's going horizontal. 34. Now she conceived again and bore a son. And now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name is Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son. And now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Levi, I will do it. Jacob should see his heart and come to me now. And Judah means praise or praise the Lord. She's starving for that affection. Now, ladies, I don't know if some of you have grown up without a proper father's affection in a biblical format. And if you have, I'm sorry. I really genuinely am sorry. Men, you may have grown up in the same way with a mother that did not know the Lord properly. And the properly is this. That means that the essence is love, mistakes and all, the grace that's shown, giving you merit that you didn't do anything for, and showing mercy when you should have been throttled, yielding back. You know, I'm sorry if some of that happened. You know, but when we put our stake and our claim in the Lord, it matters not what happened to us before. Oh, it still has a sting. It still has a negative effect. I get that, no doubt about it. And some of y'all have had it really rough. And I am so desperately sorry you've been through that. But that is not what God is like. Excuse me. That is not what he is like. He is firm, but he is extremely loving. And fair, and gentle, and firm, and fair, and gentle. She stopped bearing. Rachel still is barren. Now Leah's getting to see for the first time what it's like to Rachel's plight is. In chapter 30 and 1, now when Rachel saw that she bore no children, Rachel envied her sister. See the envy. I want kids like her, and she's got 4, and she's wanting his love. I just want kids. Give me kids, Jacob. Give me children, or I'll die. Horizontal. She's going to her husband for this. Look, when you've got challenge, we always go to the Lord first. First, not second. If we're going after our husbands, if we're going after our brides, we got it wrong. They're not. You're putting them on a pedestal of godliness that they do not deserve nor have no business being on. Are we tracking here? Because if something's wrong with me, I expect Mary Lou to go to the Lord before me because he knows how I was tinkered together. If something's going on with Mary Lou, I have to go to the Lord first. Because if not, I'll get it wrong. If you're at odds with a brother or a sister in Christ, or a brother or sister in your family, or a friend or a coworker, fill in the blank, we go to the Lord first on their behalf and on your own behalf. And you know what happens when you go to the Lord first? That junk is relieved immediately, thus being fulfilled by him. Because then we know the outcome belongs to him, no longer ours. And if we pick up that garbage again, then we got to yet go back before him and take the garbage we should have had no business picking up and dump it there at the cross. Jacob's anger was aroused at Rachel. He's mad. Am I in a place of God? You know, it's really a kind of a bright spot, not the anger, but that he understands that it's not mine. You're the barren on him, not me. Am I in the place of God in 2, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? In 3, so she said, here, not you, you're not going to do it. Here's Bilhah. Have relationships with her. Okay, let's take that more into your own hands. She can sit on my knees when she bears, and then that child will be mine. That would have been a tradition. Put the lady on her knees when she's delivering, which is really weird. And then that child will be connected to me, which is still weird. Because you had no labor, you had no carry, you had no bloat in the sense of bearing weight. You had no delivery of the pain of it. You just had somebody sit on your knees. Take my servant. I want this done. I want this done. Do you see the will that's being cast forth? And she will bear a child on my knees, that also I may have children by her. In 4, that she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as a wife, and Jacob went to her. He conceived with her, and now bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, called his name Dan. Dan, judge. He's seen my situation, and he's ruled in my favor. No, you saw your situation, and you gave him Bilhah. And then called that God. Sounds like a little vanity move, using the Lord's name in that way. And again, we're Monday morning quarterbacking here, looking back over the plays of the Sunday game. 7, and Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed, so we'll name him Naphtali. That means to wrestle. All right, now wait a minute. One of them is naming children because they're desiring after the husband. The other one's naming children because they're at a fight with the other kids. Why are you dragging your kids into your fight? Why are you doing that? You have no right to name your kids based on the fight. So you're going to mark them with a battle, your battle scars? Eight, then Rachel said, with great wrestling I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. I see Naphtali, I have prevailed. I've won the battle. Honey, you haven't bore children. You had surrogate. Then Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, so she took Zilpah, myrrh drops, her maid, and she gave to Jacob as his wife. And Leah's maid bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. You know what she's saying? Dude, watch out. I'm going to be bearing all sorts of kids. That's what this one's name's going to be. So I'm going to call him Gad. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore a second son. Leah said, I'm happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher, which means happy. Do you see this entanglement? None of this has to do with a name from God, except the one that said Judah, which was praise God. But the intent, it's always about the intent. Now Reuben went into the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes. He's probably about seven. You know what mandrakes are? Love apples. They had a superstition that you eat these love apples. Why do I hear Barry White? Some of you younger, Google it. It'll make sense. These mandrakes, and brought them to his mother. And then Rachel said to Leah, Rachel now is talking, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. And Leah said to her in 15, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? I mean, now you want my son's mandrakes? You've taken my husband, and now you want the love apples. They're apples. They're apples. Who gives children? God, not apples. And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. Okay, so now we have a trade. Give me the love apples, and you can sleep with Daddy Jacob, sugar daddy. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I surely have hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he laid with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore a fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my wages, because I've given my maid to my husband, so his name will be Issachar. So you hear Issachar? That's trade. They struck a deal. I really don't know if I want to go there. Because if you're trading your wares, well, there's a name for that. And it's not Issachar. Can you imagine being Issachar? Why are you named that way? Because my mom gave her sister some love apples so she could sleep with dad, and I'm the result of that. That's weird. So your name is Deal. Let's make a deal. Sorry. God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him a sixth son. I'll name him Zebulun. Zebulun. Habitation. God will dwell. My man is with me now. We've had so many children that I've got him. Woo! Pulled it. Sucker in. Fishing. Then God remembered Rachel. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. 20. So she called him Zebulun. 21. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and named her Dinah. And Judgment. Judgment is her name. But I would better say it is vindicated. Because she had no more children after that. Now, there are other women children, but this is the only woman that was noted. And it was like, okay, I have been satisfied. Vindicated. That's her name. Crazy. What is with this stuff? And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph. I jumped again. Sorry, you got to deal with my brain. 22. Then God remembered Jacob, and God listened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. So I will call him Joseph. The Lord added to me another son. Bingo! The first time they recognized that God, not mandrakes, not you propping up lineage, has made a son. Now you're getting it. Every time Leah bore, every time Zilpah bore, every time Bilhah bore Rachel, just that knife dug and twisted further. Even though she gave over her maidservant, still dug and twisted further. It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me my way that I may go from my place to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. That's where we'll be picking up next week. Look, Genesis 2:24. A man leaves his woman, his parents, to go be with his bride. The two become one flesh. Not four flesh. One flesh. Not boom with her and boom with her and boom with her and boom with her. All marriage. It's designed for one. It's not big of me to have all these women. It's big of me, and it's not a biblical concept or construct. There's so much garbage to take out. I'm thankful that we get to see the scars, but I'm sitting there looking at the war, and I'm going, look at this war. Look at all this garbage. Look at all this silliness. Even Laban was lying, and he broke the yoke by not even telling them that. Is how it's done in their country. He unyoked them, and he also caused them to be unequally yoked. Jacob was so fixed on Rachel that he didn't check the local customs, thus creating the love is blind environment in the first place. Jacob not loving Leah, God left her not being unloved and allowed her womb to be open. God changed Jacob's heart towards Leah, even though it was an embattled thing. Jacob sleeping with multiple concubines, I can't even get there. Look, I love my bride, but I'm going to tell you right now, that Hispanic woman is enough. That is enough. I don't need another woman. I can't even imagine having four. That woman is all about her family and her food and her gardening and everything that lives. But you know what she's more about? Is Jesus Christ. And that alone is enough. Women warring, using people, children and people as pawns. Trusting apples and not God. We saw what that apple bite thing did for us. Hadn't learned that lesson that got handed down through oral tradition. How petty these arguments are in these bigamy states. How little our opinion matters. And I know God listens to the challenges of ourselves, of our lives. We actually want him to listen, and he does. But do we want to hear what he has to say through others? Do we want to hear what he has to say through the church or through prayer or through the word or situations that he's got there? Folks, do not use people in your schemes to gain desired results. Don't do that. Do not do that. Don't trust the horizontal actions that you think you can manipulate and do. Oh, you'll get some room there, but it won't last long. It'll get severed, thankfully. Go to the Lord, and if it needs to be resolved, he'll resolve it, and he'll do it in his time. Even the worst of ones. Don't use people. Don't bring others into it. Love your children. Don't mark them with your battle scars. And if you have battle scarred your children, I don't care how old they are, you make amends with that. First to the Lord. You work that out with the Lord first and foremost. And then go to those children. And if they've already passed, or those parents, or that family member, or that coworker, or whatever, if the time has passed that you can't talk to them, jot a letter, send it to the cemetery, and have somebody else put it there. If there is no cemetery because cremation has happened, or they died in the jungle, or in the water, or whatever, then write a note and get everything out of your heart, and you write it out. And Lord, is there any other pleading that I need to bring before you, because I'm holding this in such a way that it keeps me from having the fullness of you? Write it through. And when you're done, fire up the charcoaler and stick it on there. Have a water hose nearby so you don't create forest fires. Don't let these belittling things separate you from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not fair to take them into battle. We as a family here at Outpost, we don't act like that. If I see that stuff going on, you know what I'm going to do? Right then and there, I'm going to step in. And I expect you to do the same thing, but not with belligerence. To come in and pray on behalf of those individuals and take them before the Lord. Why? Because we need to be taken before the Lord, to Dad. Dad, know how he made you. He knows how he made you. He knows how he can fix you. We don't bring that into the family. And if whoever's listening online, don't let that happen at your church. Start loving the socks off of people. That's why typically I teach barefoot. Y'all just love the socks off me. You love one another. You settle your differences with the Lord. These folks were embattled. And look at the grace of the Lord. There are 12 tribes of Israel based right here. And when you see those names, you're going to start thinking of them warring women. Are you picking on women? No, it's a story. We had our fair share with the boys. Laban, Jacob, nerds. 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob. And yet another God, an example of God's covenant. Your homework? You always have homework. You guys come on up for the final song. We'll be doing communion here in a minute. Check yourself right now. Listen to me. Listen. Check yourself right now. Check yourself this week. See if there's anything in you that has your agenda on it. If you've put it in pen, rip out the page and start again in pencil, please. Because he's got it written in blood. If your agenda is more important than what the Lord has, guess what? Turn from your agenda. Whatever you have given your word to, your actions to, or your motives to that don't line up with the Lord, undo it. Your word still has to be done. So you need to fill out a contract that you had with somebody, do it, and then sever it when it's done. But anything that you're doing of self-motive is serving yourself, which is serving the enemy. You turn from, you flee. This is the sign language for flee. Stuck, gone. Flee. You need some flea repellent. I love the word. It encourages us. If you're thinking this is some kind of beat down, you're wrong. It's a forging. Forging has an idea of being used in an equipping fashion. A beat down keeps you limited. Will we be perfect? Absolutely not. But we strive for excellence. You will never be perfect on this side of heaven. But you strive for excellence in what you do, in your behavior and your motive. Is love blind? What do we find? Him. Communion's over here. Jesus is your Savior. This is for you. This is your time of remembrance. Has no healing properties. There is no alcohol involved. There's no wheat in the crackers. It's just a reminder. It reminds that we're not to be horizontal. We're to be vertical because he was vertical. And he came to be horizontal for us. To come back to him. Father. How much have we done poorly? It's okay, Lord. You're so forgiving in that. But how much have we done so desperately poorly? Because we've desired our own way. That ends today, Lord. Father, I pray that you, right now, that you mark in the minds of the people that are here, listening, whatever, this moment, that you mark in them the areas of their lives, the areas of my life, where we have put you in front of, excuse me, behind us. All the areas that we have initiated, Lord, would you disengage us and re-engage us with you? Father, we really do want to just be with you. Our stupid sin, I'm not being victim here, our stupid sin is getting away, but you told us to have a mind for you, to renew our minds. Well, our body follows a renewed mind. So, Father, I'm praying for the trap. It's funny, the way they catch monkeys is they put a peanut in a jar that's chained to a pin that's driven into a ground. And when the monkey goes in and puts his hand and grabs that nut, he won't let it go. And his hand will be stuck with a fist closed in that jar and then get beat, killed, and used and sold and yada, yada, yada. And that's us, Father, when we don't release. We think that nut in our hand is more important than anything that can come our way unto death. Well, Father, we would prefer to have everything you have because you've already brought yourself unto death, that we could die and follow you. That's what that's about. That's what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus.